ओम ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति 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 ही। As a part of the unfoldment of the Aham Brahmasmi Mahavakyam, many classes have been understanding subtle fact associated with that Mahavakyam. To conclude that, because I have been only talking about that Swarupam only, never mentioned anything about the Jagat. One of the important factors we need to assimilate, understand, is not only our Swarupam being consciousness, implied by the term Brahma. Also, the other fact that this world is mithya. When we say the world is mithya, we do not see it as real as we think. First we say world is seemingly real, therefore it is mithya. Why it is seemingly real? Why it is mithya? Because it does not have independent existence of its own. Very important sentence is, it does not have independent existence of its own. If it does not have independent existence of its own, what it implies is, the world is non-substantial. Not having independent existence implies its non-substantiality. Which means there is no really, if you analyze, there is no substance called universe. It is the toughest thing. The most difficult thing to understand is, there is no substance called universe. You know why? We have to deny our own body, our own mind, our sense organs, and the world of objects perceived through our sense organs. The world which is experienced, experience also has to be negated as mithya, which means there is no substance called experience, there is no substance called jagat, there is no substance called the universe. Which means it's only non-substantial nama-rupa-karma. Non-substantial form. Therefore, the word denoting that non-substantial form also is non-substantial. So the functions also actually are non-substantial. When the form itself is non-substantial, how can the word denoting the form and the function dependent on that form be substantial? So the entirety, universe entirety is non-substantial. Means there is no substance called universe. How do you arrive at it? Only on analysis we can arrive at this fact. Therefore, the universe finally can be reduced to one and the only substance called consciousness. If at all there is a substance, it's only consciousness. There's no substance other than consciousness. which is the only truth of all forms, names and functions. Therefore, it is the, and but we arrive at the truth as very truth of I. And we understood many times before we analyzed, and the truth, the consciousness, is the reality, and which is free from all limitations, therefore implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, we can say, we have to say, Aham Brahma Asmi. We have to say means, we have to see the fact of the self being Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi. The Jagat also Brahmaiva Asti. Jagat also is Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Jagat Api Brahmaiva Asti. Aham Brahma Asmi. Jagat Api Brahmaiva Asti. If Aham Brahma Asmi is not very clear, then Jagat is Brahman, we cannot say. Jagat is Brahma. You can simply say it. It is a fact to be understood. How we say ocean is water. So the whole cosmos is Brahma. The truth only. Essentially, it can be reduced to the truth. It can be cognitively resolved in the truth. So Aham Brahma Asmi. Jagatapi Brahmaiva Asti. So, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. All at least there is only Brahma. And this truth, we say this consciousness alone is Satyam. So, cognitively resolving our essence in this truth, it is repeatedly cognitively resolving this essence in this truth alone will help us resolve our problems. And repeatedly we have to see this fact, repeatedly we have to dwell upon this fact. It is not enough we simply understand, we have to assimilate it, because only in assimilation we can enjoy the benefit of the vision of this fact. Otherwise, in spite of having the understanding, we don't enjoy the benefit of this fact. If we can assimilate the vision of this fact, then we are free now. Right now, we have given mukti. So this jagat is mithya, that fact also has to become very clear for us to ascertain this fact of everything is Brahma. Otherwise, we don't need to waste our time understanding Jagat being Mithya. Why should we care? Whether Jagat is Mithya, Hatyam, who cares? I want to be peaceful and happy. I'm interested in my moksha. I don't care whether Jagat is Hatyam or Mithya. So, understanding our Jagat being Mithya also strengthens our, strengthens any reasoning mind of the fact, understanding of the fact. That Aham Brahma Asmi. So we have 10 different schools of philosophy, 10 different systems of philosophy, schools of thought, systems of philosophy. Of them, 6 schools of thought are Gnostic, we can say. There are 6 systems of philosophy. 6 schools of thought, Shad Darshanani, are said to be Nastika Darshanani. Nastika, leave alone the Vaidika Darshanani, no, Astika Darshanani. Astika Darshanam, a system of philosophy which accepts Veda as a Pramana Grantaha. We have many Astika Darshanani who also accept the world as real. For them, world is not mithya. So there, Nastika Darshanani are also there. And of all the Nastika Darshanani who do not accept the Veda, and Buddhism is the Bauddha Matam, is strongest of the schools of thought. Of course, we have Jainism, we have Charvaka Matha materialists, and we have these four different branches of Buddhism. There are six Nastika Darshanani, Shad Nastika Darshanani. After six Nastika Darshanani, four branches are of Buddhism only. Four branches are of Buddhism. We can negate the four branches of Buddhism, then we have negated all the branches of all other people who do not accept Veda. And also the people who accept Veda also. We have two main branches of Buddhism. Hinayana Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism. Today, why I am talking about Buddhism? Because to negate Jagat Mithyat, Jagat is Mithya. I am not interested in Buddhism. I didn't want to miss that part. So, Hinayana Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. Sautrantika Bauddhamatam. Sautrantika Bauddhamatam. And Vaibhasika Bauddhamatam. Sautrantika Bauddhamatam, Vaibhasika Bauddhamatam. These two branches come under the Hinayana Bauddhamatam, Buddhism. Buddhism or Bauddhamatam. Sautrantika Bauddhamatam, Vaibhasika Bauddhamatam, these two come under one school called Hinayana Bauddhamatam. Then, Yogachara Bauddhamatam, and Madhyamika Bauddhamatam. Yogachara Bauddhamatam and Madhyamika Bauddhamatam. These two branches come under Mahayana Buddhism. So, Sautrantika Bauddhamatam and Vaibhasika Bauddhamatam come under Hinayana Bauddhamatam. Yogachara Bauddhamatam, Madhyamika Bauddhamatam come under Mahayana Buddhism. So, two main schools, and under each school there are two branches. Totally, there are four branches of Buddhism. Now, if you see, within the branch, there are so many branches. So, we don't need to go into the details of all branches, not necessary. All the branches can be negated easily if you negate four of them under two different main branches, Hinayana, Mahayana, Bauddhamatam. Here the Hinayana Bauddhas means the Bauddhas of first two schools, the Sautrantikaha Bauddha and Vaibhasikaha Bauddha. So, people of these two schools accept the universe as real. According to the Hinayana Bauddha, the universe is real. The universe is very real. That is why I am talking today, no? Because otherwise I wouldn't have talked about it. And for that, the reason they have to give. How do we say the universe is real? On what basis do you say the universe is real? If you ask this question, Sautrantikaha says, the universe is real because I am perceiving this universe. I am experiencing this universe. Simple reason. Kindergarten reason. I am experiencing this universe, therefore it is real. When you say real, it exists by itself. I am experiencing it, therefore it is real. I am perceiving it. It's available for perception, therefore it is real. Therefore, the Sautrantikaha is called Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. Bahya Artha means external object. Pratyaksha means what? The external world is real because it is available for direct perception. Bahya Artha means external world. Artha means objective universe. Bahya Artha, Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. Bahyarth Pratyakshavadi is Sautrantikaha. Why? Because according to him, the external world is real because it's available for perception. So Sautrantikaha is called Bahyarth Pratyakshavadi. What about Vaibhasikaha? They both belong to the same Hinayana Matam, Bauddha Matam. Still there must be difference between them. There are two different branches. They become another branch. Vaibhasikaha, for Vaibhasikaha also, the external universe is real. The objective universe is very real. But for him, the reason given is different. He is slightly different. He says, the universe is very real because, why the universe is real? Because I infer, for me experience is direct. Pratyaksham, experience is pratyaksham. So from the, because the world is experienced, he says, I infer the existence of the world based on experience. For him, what is the proof? The world is real, world exists, because world is real, because I infer the existence of the world based on experience. Therefore, this Vaibhasikaha is called Bahyartha Anumeya Vadi. Bahyartha Anumeyavadi, Anumanavadi also can say. Anumanam means inference. Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi, Bahyartha Anumeyavadi. So for him, the world is available for inference through experience. For the Sautrantika, the world is available for perception. Even though slight difference is there, one person says world is perceived, other person says world is inferred, existence of the world is inferred, but still that's only difference. But for both of them, external world is real. Jagat Satyam. Jagat Satyam. And we need not work very hard to negate them. Their own branch, the person of other branch comes and negates these two views that the world is real. Who is the one who negates this view? these two views, world is real, is Yogachara Bauddha. The Yogachara Bauddha or Mahayana Bauddha. Yogachara Bauddha negates these two views. And Yogachara Bauddha, now why I am talking today very importantly, because many a time people mistake Advaitam for Buddhism. And they also call Shankara Prachanna Bauddha, hidden Bauddha. Prachanna Bauddha, they call him. Many people mistake because they do not see very carefully subtle aspect, subtle difference. That's a big difference, actually speaking. Why they mistake Bauddhamatam, Advaitam for Bauddhamatam? Because this Yogachara Bauddha is the one who comes very, very close to Advaitam. This according to Yogachara Bauddhamatam also, the world is mithya. Jagat mithya. The world is not real. So an Advaiti says world is mithya. So according to Advaita vision, the Jagat is mithya. So according to Yogachara Bauddhamatam also, the world is mithya. So what is this world then, if it is mithya, if it is not real? He also uses the same term, mithya only. The world is not real. The world is not real means, then what about the world which we are experiencing? The world we are experiencing is actually only seeming form. It is seemingly real. It is not absolutely real. So the world is not real. The world is mithya. So what is this world? If it is mithya means, what is the substance? What is that upon which the form called universe exists? Where does this universe exist? If it is a form, if we say wave is a form, the wave form exists depending upon the substance called water. If the universe is also just the form, like a pot which exists in clay, so where does this universe, the mithya universe, exist? So he also says the entire objective universe can be reduced to consciousness, observer consciousness. Until now he is very close. The world is mithya. World is not real. There is no world. The world can be reduced to observer consciousness. Sounds very much like Advaita, isn't it? So, Yogachara Bauddha is also called Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi. Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi. Bahyartha means external objective universe. Mithyatva Vadi. Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi. Like Advaitin, Yogachara Bauddha also says that Bahyartha is Mithya. The external world is Mithya. Therefore, he is called Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi. And he also says the objective Mithya universe can be finally, ultimately reduced to observer knower consciousness. So he sounds very much like Advaiti. Now what is the difference between Advaiti and Yogachara Bauddha? what is the difference? The difference is here. See, according to Yogacara Buddha, every object perceived is consciousness. Every object which enjoys existence is consciousness. But for him, consciousness is not one. This is where the problem comes. Yogacara Buddha says, consciousness is not one. There are many consciousnesses, which means the manifestation of consciousness is mistaken for the pure consciousness. Yogacara Buddha takes the manifest consciousness for pure consciousness. Manifestations are many. The more vrittis rise, the more manifestations are there. So there, more manifestation means the more cognitions. So every vritti jnanam, every piece of vritti jnanam, the manifest knowledge, is mistaken for pure knowledge. So according to him, consciousness is not just one, there are many, and because every time an object comes, there's a constant, continuous flow of momentary consciousness. So consciousness has a beginning. So according to Yogacara Buddha, see, manifestation has a beginning, manifestation has an end, isn't it? Thought rises, there's a manifestation. Thought goes, manifestation goes. But he says, consciousness has a beginning. And according to consciousness has an end also. Why? Not one consciousness. There's a constant, continuous flow of momentary consciousness. And that consciousness which rises stays only for a fraction of second. Only for a second it stays. And he calls it kshanika vijnanam. He calls this momentary consciousness as kshanika vijnanam. Kshanikam means momentary. Kshanika vijnanam means consciousness. So, kshanika vijnanam means momentary consciousness. This is the big difference between Advaiti and Yogacara Buddha. Just because he says everything is consciousness, we cannot say he is right. He comes very close to Advaiti in stating the fact that the world is mithya. World has no independent existence. World is not real. And world is reducible to consciousness. Until that point, he is agreeable. Afterwards, there's no, for him, consciousness has beginning, has an end, and then many, they keep coming and going. Which means the manifestation is mistaken for real. Exactly like a modern scientist. The manifest consciousness is, that's why they talk about the origination of consciousness. This is where they go wrong. But what does Advaitam say? Of course, the world is consciousness. Every object is nothing but consciousness. Consciousness is not the object. Consciousness is not the world. But the entire world is nothing but consciousness. World enjoys its existence in consciousness. Which means the world has no independent existence outside of consciousness. But where does consciousness exist? Consciousness is self-existent. Consciousness has no location. There's nothing beyond consciousness. I'm telling I'm telling you, consciousness has no locus. Consciousness has no beginning. Consciousness has no end. It's at least, it's all pervasive. All pervasiveness also has to be understood only in terms of the cognitions. Knowledge of every object is consciousness. Exists happen only in consciousness. Possible because of consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of existence. Why do we say consciousness is of the nature of existence? Because consciousness is self-existent. If we say wave exists in water, the existence of the wave is dependent on the existence of the water. Similarly, existence of the universe is dependent on the existence of consciousness. Whereas existence of consciousness is not dependent on the existence of anything else. It's an important lesson, okay? Existence of consciousness is not dependent on the existence of anything else. Therefore, we say consciousness is of the nature of self-existence. Swayam Siddha, Swayam Siddham. That is why existence itself, meaning of the word existence itself is consciousness. And consciousness is existence, existence is consciousness. They're not two. Two words implying the reality in terms of two different swarupam. Existence is the swarupam, consciousness is the swarupam of the reality. The reality we arrive at it, we understand only in terms of its nature of consciousness, which is existence. Therefore, existence of the universe is existence possible because of existence of consciousness. So, consciousness is always whether the universe exists or not. The universe enjoys existence or it loses its status of being existent. It exists or it resolves. It is manifest. It's unmanifest. Always consciousness is. Therefore, consciousness alone is satyam. Jagat is mithya. But this consciousness has no beginning, no end, no change. The consciousness is one. We say only reality. First we say consciousness is one. When we negate the matter, the material objective universe in consciousness, we say what is only consciousness. First we say consciousness is one, then we say what is only consciousness. Why? Because there is no second thing called matter other than consciousness. Because we are resolving, we are negating material objective universe in consciousness as consciousness. Jagat is மித்யா ஜகத்தே சத்யம் பிரம்ம. We call mithya because it's just an appearance of consciousness. See, the most intangible, subtlest consciousness alone is appearing in the form of grossest universe. How do you say this? This grossest universe does not have independent existence at all outside of consciousness. Therefore, it is very difficult for you to say. It's not simply saying. You have to see this. This grossest universe is nothing but subtlest consciousness. It does not have existence of its own. Therefore, the whole universe is consciousness. The matter is consciousness. It is the toughest equation. Toughest equation. Matter is consciousness. Consciousness alone appears as the universe. You accept somewhat. But when you say matter is, the verb is, matter is consciousness. Therefore, we have to say what? Matter is consciousness means consciousness has no beginning, no end. It is a pure consciousness. What comes and goes is manifestation of consciousness, which is kshanikam, not the pure consciousness. And how do we arrive at that pure consciousness? Is there any shortcut method? No. Shastram teaches you, you have to arrive at the consciousness as yourself. As yourself. Just to arrive at the consciousness as your own swarupam, as yourself. It teaches this drik drishya viveka prakriya, avasthatraya prakriya. And this prakriya analysis, making use of this analysis, this prakriya, this methodology, gradually is supposed to help you resolve even the knower known duality. You have to say there is no knower. There is no known. Knower known division also seemingly there. When you say the world is mithya, knower known division is mithya. Duality is mithya. It's all mithya means what? Seemingly there. There seems to be knower. There seems to be the known. Absolutely what is the consciousness. You have to resolve the knower also in consciousness. You have to resolve the known universe also in consciousness. If the knower is resolved in consciousness, that's called Jiva Brahma Aikyam. When the known is resolved as consciousness, Jagat Brahma Aikyam. And this Jiva Brahma Aikyam, Jagat Brahma Aikyam is what? Jiva Jagat Ishvara Swarupa Aikyam. Jiva Brahma Aikyam, Jagat Brahma Aikyam, otherwise said to be Jiva Jagat Ishvara Swarupa Aikyam. Yet you have one more word. There is no Jiva other than Brahma. There is no Jagat other than Brahma. There is no God Ishvara other than Brahma. What is only Brahma. So when you resolve this duality, you are also resolving the Triputi Bhedaha. Triputi Bhedaha. The knower, known knowledge difference. Jnatru Jnana Jnaya Bhedaha. There is no knower, there is no knowledge, there is no known outside of consciousness. Brahma. Therefore, you are negating all possible differences also on the part of Brahma. What about the differences we are experiencing? Even the universe is said to be mithya. What about the differences associated with the universe? Difference is only, you can talk about the difference only with reference to the universe. The universe itself is mithya means, what about the differences? What about the countability? What about the plurality? When the duality is negated, then Triputi is negated. Look at this. Knower known division is, duality is negated. Then knower known knowledge, Triputi Bheda is negated. Then plurality is negated. When Triputi is negated, cognitions are innumerable and countless. Now there is a plurality of cognitions are negated. The plurality of the multiplicity is negated. All the possible differences are negated. Sajatiya Bheda is negated. Vijatiya Bheda is negated. Swagata Bheda is negated. All the differences are negated along with the world. As Mithya. What is Satyam is this one and the only secondless, non-dual reality, indivisible, partless whole. The consciousness alone is Satyam, consciousness alone is. Now, one more past point we have. Where has this universe come from? The universe is negated as mithya. You are negating what? The creation of the universe. Universe is negated means, when you say universe is not unreal, at the same time universe is not absolutely real, it is seemingly real, it is mithya, it is as good as non-existent. When you are saying the universe, you know, has no beginning. Universe has no beginning. So there is no such a thing called creation of the universe. Who created the universe? There is no creation. There is no destruction also. The universe is neither created nor is it destroyed. Which means there is no cause. Only if we talk about the universe as creation, then you have to talk about the cause. Karanam. What is the Jagat Karanam? Is there a cause of the universe? Is there Nimitta Karanam? Is there Upadana Karanam? We discuss the topic of Ishvara itself to understand the Jagat. Once after understanding Jagat, we say there is no Ishvara other than the truth, means there is Nimitta Karanam also is not there. Upadana Karanam also is not there. Which what is only Brahma. We cannot attribute causal status to consciousness. So consciousness is not the cause. Therefore, we cannot talk about the material cause and the intelligent cause, etc. What about the Maya, the power of consciousness? Maya itself is negated as mithya. We just say what is only consciousness. Power is not there independently, countably. Power itself is non-countable. What is just consciousness. Maya is mithya. Maya karyam jagat is also mithya. So causal status attributed is mithya. Your Ishvara status attributed to consciousness is also mithya. Why do we say it is not a cause? If we say it is a cause, all those different people of different schools of philosophy, they're all holding on to this very strong view. They have to talk about the cause. And when you talk about the cause, they have to say cause is some cause must be anadi, beginningless. Everything has its own cause. There's nothing which is causeless. Everything has its cause. Every cause has a cause. Every effect has a cause. Every cause is an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. Every cause is relatively an effect. Every cause is relatively a cause also. Every cause is relatively cause. Every cause is relatively an effect also. Why? Because if anything has to be a cause, cause has to undergo a change. Any cause, anything which enjoys the status of being a cause has to undergo a change. Please pay attention to this, what I'm saying. Cause has to undergo a change to become an effect. If we say cause, there is a cause which is eternal. If we say something cannot be eternal at the same time be a cause. Nityatvam eternity. Karanatvam causal status. Okay? Nityatvam and karanatvam cannot coexist. Nityatvam eternity, karanatvam the causal status cannot coexist. Why? Because anything which has a causal status is not eternal, cannot be eternal. Why? It has to undergo a change. A eternal is that which cannot undergo change, which cannot have a beginning. So cause is something which has a beginning, which has to undergo a change. Is it clear? Nityatvam and karanatvam cannot coexist. Therefore, it is made very clear that consciousness is not the cause. Because consciousness is eternal, beginningless, timeless. It's endless also. Therefore, it is not subject to change. Therefore, it is not a cause. If at all we talk about any cause, that cause is only relative. So, karana karya prakriya is used only for our understanding. Adhyaropa apavada prakriya, karanakarya prakriya, srishti prakriya, all these three methods of unfoldment are used to analyze the universe, the Vedic cosmology, just to negate the universe, to arrive at the truth. we did understand, we did talk about nimitta karanam, upadana karanam, and we also use another expression, vivartha upadana karanam. The cause which does not undergo change is called vivartha upadana karanam. We said all that. But now we say, there is no cause. Why? There is no effect. There must be effect for you to say there is a cause. Where is the effect? The universe is negate already. Therefore, there is no effect. Therefore, there is no cause. Because cause has to undergo change. Only then it can be a cause. Cause must have a beginning. Whereas consciousness is eternal, it has no beginning, it has undergo change, it is not a cause. So, what is the conclusion? There is no creation. There is no origination of creation. There is no origin of creation. Okay? There is no origin of creation. There is no origination of creation. There is no destruction of creation. The creation is seeming, okay, only appearance of consciousness. Pot is an appearance of clay. You're very happy to understand that. Ocean is an appearance of water. Every wave is an appearance of only truth called water. The whole cosmos, including time and space, are all appearances of consciousness. Okay, so Yogacara Bodha we forgot. Somewhere we heard about him in the beginning of the class. After that, how much development is there in Advaita? Is it clear? Now, should we talk about the other? One more person is there. Now, who is that? Madhyamika Bauddha. We just completely forgot him. You know why? He deserves forgetting. Because he is called Shunyavadi. Madhyamika Bauddha is called Shunyavadi. And he is also called Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadi. He is not only Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi, Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadi. For him, Sarvam Mithya. Mithya means what? The world seems to be there. I seem to be there. The world seems to be there. There is no world, there is no I, there is no nothing. Nothing is there. So he finds Sarvartha Mithyatva, not only Bahyartha, Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadi. Is a Madhyamikaha. But this is only Shunyam. So when everything is non-existent, he denies existence of his own self. He is not there. Then he is there. Is it worth wasting time on something which is not there? Understand what I am saying? When he denies his own existence, then we don't need to talk about something non-existent. So Shunyavadi is just, we say what is only Brahma. This is the subtlest Vedantic vision. Okay, what is the use of knowing what is only Brahma? In seeing this, you have resolved yourself. You don't simply resolve the world. You resolve yourself, your individuality. If aham brahma asmi, then where is birth? where is death, where is old age, where are the problems for me? All the problems are for the body, mind, sense complex, not for me. Finally, this has to become clear. So, if this is a fact, we do understand the fact, but do we assimilate this fact? Have we made any efforts to assimilate this fact? Even if we started, dwelling upon this fact often, then we can enjoy great, tremendous amount of benefit of this knowledge. Because we are getting old. Don't want to waste our time. We have to pay attention to this fact. So in Mahayana Buddhism, Yogacara Buddha alone is really tackled. No, he alone is taken for discussion. And he accepted to a certain point. And the error in his view also is pointed out. How is it pointed out? If consciousness comes and goes, look at this. Yogacara Buddha has to be shown, his fallacy has to be shown. If consciousness comes and goes, if momentarily cognitions come and go, who is the one who sees the arrival and departure of momentary consciousness? What he calls as momentary consciousness, we say cognition. No? Vritti jnanam. Cognitions are many. Many vrittis rise. There's a constant, continuous flow of thoughts. In every thought there is manifestation of consciousness. Because number of thoughts are many and manifestations also seem to be many. Many manifestations of one and the only consciousness, which doesn't have beginning or end or change. So who is the one who sees the arrival of consciousness and departure of consciousness? Departure. Consciousness doesn't come and go, but the manifestation comes and goes. Who is the observer? Who is the knower? The knower of the arrival of cognition and departure of cognition is distinct from that manifest consciousness. So, origin of conscious manifestation, the source of manifestation is non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, pure consciousness. How does Advaita arrive at it? Isn't it? We say thoughts keep coming and going. Conscious, the many consciousness, I don't want to even say, I find it difficult to say consciousnesses. So if cognitions come and go, and he mistakes every cognition, the manifest consciousness is mistaken for the consciousness, original consciousness. Then he says it goes, it comes and goes. See, there must be a knower who says, for something to arrive, something to be there, something to depart, there must be the non-arriving, non-departing knower. Advaita asks only this question, who is the one who knows the arrival and departure of these manifestations of consciousness? That knower is consciousness. The knower is not arriving, departing manifestation. Knower is pure consciousness. In fact, only from the standpoint of the arriving, departing, thought modifications, we have to talk about the knower. Otherwise, there's no knower, it's just knowledge. Knowledge which is of the nature of knowing. There's just pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness, which is implied by the term Brahma Atma. It is this pure consciousness. Just for the sake of distinguishing it from the manifestation, we have to add this adjective pure. Otherwise, there's just jnanam, knowledge, awareness. In Upanishads, this example is quite given, quite often. When the birds are flying in the sky, nobody can see the footprints of the birds in the sky. Like this, just as we cannot see the footprints of the birds flying in the sky, we cannot see the origin of consciousness. Consciousness is of the nature of self-existence, pure consciousness. Which alone is manifest as thoughts, then through the thoughts, through the sense organs, them of the world. We must be able to clearly see this fact. Time is consciousness, space is consciousness. Each and every element is consciousness. All elementals are consciousness. Movements, actions, functions are consciousness. The experiences are consciousness. What is object experienced externally are consciousness. What is experienced internally are consciousness. So, pratyaksha vishaya, aparoksha vishaya, aparoksha vishaya. Immediately experienced emotions are consciousness. Directly experienced world of objects is consciousness. What about indirectly known things? So, aparokshataya, parokshataya, pratyakshataya, jnatam sarvam. The entire known is consciousness only. The knower is also consciousness. Therefore, absolutely, there is no knower known knowledge bheda, there is no knower known duality. What is only non-dual reality, Brahma. And that Brahma, reality, consciousness, which is the existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is implied by the term Brahma, and tat Brahma tamasi aham Brahma asmi. We don't need to know too much of Buddhism. This much understanding of Buddhism is enough. If you go, let me finish it. Because there are too many branches of everything. We don't need to get into the details. We have no time for wasting all that. The main branches are understood and negated. The basic problems we understand enough. And second thing, what you're understanding here is absolutely non-contradictory. Doesn't contradict your reasoning. And one more thing I have to tell you here. What about the prarabdha karma, sanchitam karma, agami karma? So we use this karma, law of karma theory, law of karma, for answering the questions why there is something called suffering in life. Only when you think that you are suffering, there is suffering. I'm not saying you are suffering. Shastram does not say you are suffering. There is suffering. There is experience of problems, experience of pairs of opposites. The experience of pairs of opposites definitely is within the realm of what? The universe only, isn't it? Experience is in the realm of the universe. Experience is associated with the world only. Experience of something. An object of experience is mithya. Therefore, all punya papams, karma itself is mithya. Punya doership is mithya. Enjoyership is mithya. Karma is mithya. Karma phalam is mithya. Punyam is mithya. Papam is mithya. Sanchita, agami, parabdha are all mithya. From the standpoint of consciousness, who is the doer, where is the doer, where is the enjoyer, where is punyam, where is papam? Of course, birth is determined by parabdha karma. Birth itself is mithya. Death is mithya. Very difficult to accept. So, law of karma also should be used only for us to grow, okay? For us to become mature. Law of karma is relatively real. It is not unreal. It has to be respected and followed to live life in this world. Because there is no such a thing called creation, means there is no birth of a jiva. There is no birth of a jiva. No death of a jiva. There is no jiva at all. The jiva itself is not there. Where is the birth and death of jiva? It's the birth of a body. Mithya body. Mithya birth of a mithya body. Mithya death. Mithya appetite. Mithya food. We all want tea in 5 minutes' time. Because this is another excuse. How can you say there is no creation when you talk about the jiva is born, law of karma is used? What about law of karma? That is why law, we do not teach all this. In the beginning, the whole Gita, repeatedly we had to tell punya papa, karma, law of karma, we had to talk. But today, I have to tell you this also. The standpoint of consciousness, there is no jiva, there is no jagat, there is no ishvara, there is no punyam, there is no papam, there is no law of karma. Because somebody asked that day, Swamiji, what is the first karma? That is why you want answer, by binary answer. Lot of understanding has to take place. That is why Vedanta class, we say regularly come, attend and listen, and always clarity enhances. Gradually your vagueness will resolve. If you say karma is the cause for the birth, part of the karma determines the birth. That is true. But you want to ask, which is the first birth, which when did they first accumulate first karma? Did karma come first or birth come first? What comes first? Did the seed come first or the tree come first? What is it which comes first? You cannot say that. You cannot say. Okay? It is non-traceable because there is no real creation. Shastram says, it's all mithya. When you say mithya, it's just a beginningless, endless cycle, we say. Is it clear now? There is no samsara also. Samsara is also mithya. Everything mithya becomes clear when? Only in jnanam. That is why you have to attain jnanam. Attainment of jnanam also is mithya. Discovery of freedom also is mithya. But what is satyam then? Brahmaiva satyam. Consciousness alone is satyam. And until you understand the fact that all that is there is only consciousness, which alone is real, satyam, which has no beginning, no end, no change, it's always there. That which is always there is satyam. Everything else, anything else which comes and goes is what? Mithya. And anything which comes and goes is appearance of consciousness, Brahma. Therefore, law of karma also should be used only to some extent. For us to live our lives prudently, we have to use it. Should not take it very, when you really grow, the lesson means law of karma is, no, you know, let me do all wrong things, adharma. Yeah, you have to pay for it also. Okay. Once you go against dharma, you have to suffer. Suffering cannot be escaped. Understand? But dharma, adharma, good and evil, everything is within the realm of mithya, prapancha. Is it clear? Why I am saying this? When you want to talk about Advaitam, you have to understand this fact also. Aham Brahmasmi, Advaitam Brahma, let me do all wrong things. There is no law of karma for me. Yes. If you say you are Brahma, then don't need, Brahma doesn't do any action, okay? Brahma doesn't go against dharma. That's why understanding also must be very prudent in understanding. Is it clear? The last bit actually, I was hesitant to say that, but when you say there is no creation, at all means there is no Jiva Srishti, there is no Jagat Srishti. Therefore, Jiva Srishti is not there means what? There is no Jiva itself. No creation of Jiva means. And what is it which determines the birth? We talk about law of karma. Then the question comes. People come and ask the question, what is the first? Come and study Vedanta Shastra properly. No, and the poor Swamiji cannot teach, he can't say in one line, no, there is no law of karma. He can't tell in the class. He should not say that. People get misguided. Understand? So law of karma also should be understood at a level. There is a level. No, law of gravitation. We don't deny it. All the laws are laws which are applicable within the realm of objective universe. To understand the fact, absolute fact, of all that is there is ultimately is only Brahma, reality, Nama pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And you are that, all that is here is that, there is nothing other than that. I am that, you are that, everything is that. What is in the front, what is in the back, what is above, what is below, is only that. What is only Brahma. Okay, we'll, the last bit we'll elaborate in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.